And then there's the idea of normal and what's normal. And I wrote a little, I drew a little normal curve on your sheet. I couldn't do it on the computer or do it more precisely, but I don't know how many of you took statistics or understand the normal curve. So we'll go over it briefly. And you'll see the shaded part in the middle is solid average. That's the 50th percentile. Now you see on that normal curve how it goes up on the left-hand side is the 10th percentile, and then all the way up it's the 90th percentile. Okay? If you have an IQ of 140, you have a higher IQ than 90% of the population. You're in the 90th percentile because you have a above bright average. You have a superior intelligence quotient. So that's how we think of it. So behavior can be out of the ordinary on the positive or the what we call positive or negative behavior. But if you look at the normal curve, you can if I'm assessing a child, testing a kid, and we have all this data and I'm looking up that child's score on the back of a manual, what's really happening is I'm looking at a level relative to 1,000 other, say, 13-year-olds on that scale, on that factor that I just measured. And so that's how we come up with our scores, is based on testing thousands of kids that age to determine what is average, say average reading skill right now in the year 2001 for a 13-year-old. So we have to have those statistics to kind of gauge normalcy. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a way to gauge what percentile or whether it falls in the normal curve. So right solid in the middle of that normal curve is average. So when the mother in my office, who had the child who was worrying, and I jumped in too quick to talk about medication, well, for some folks it wouldn't be too quick, but for this mom, because I knew, because I've seen so many children, and I felt such compassion for this little girl and her suffering, and knew that she was a candidate, and yes, there are candidates at very young ages for anxiety disorders and obsessive compulsive kinds of profiles, and I felt so bad for this child that she's walking around every day with this amount of worrying and fretting and stomach aches and inability to go to school and not eating for a day and a half because she was afraid she'd throw up. And this has been happening for a while. So how do I think about normalcy when the mom looked up at me and said, you can tell that within, you know, in one session, within a half hour? And this is a family I knew from before. So I had worked with the parents before. And I said, yes. And she said, well, how do you do that? And I said, well, I said, I'm basing it on, I mean, partly you're going to have to trust me on my expertise in seeing lots of kids and knowing what this is, but also I'm basing it on severity and functioning. Functioning socially, functioning in school, and functioning at home. So the way we think about it clinically is how severe is it, which means how frequent. This is not a child who's having a nightmare a couple times a year or a few times a year. This is not a child who worries once in a while. This is a child who has frequent nightmares every week and worries all day long. So we base it on frequency and severity and functioning. Functioning, is she functioning at school? Is she functioning socially with her friends? And how is she functioning at home? Sometimes kids function fine at school and with their friends, and they're at home, they're making the entire family crazy off the charts and everybody's drained and exhausted. They hold it together out in the world. But those are the three areas of functioning that I'm thinking about when I'm determining in my head normalcy. Now, I can get out some standardized questionnaires and some scales. I already knew. I mean, when she was going like this, the mom was going, I don't think so. She was so relieved that I knew what was going on in her head. And so I would describe it, how she felt and what I believed she was feeling, and she would say, yes, that's exactly it.